tonight. Amen. Come on, let's honor the Lord. Let's honor the Lord tonight. He's awesome. He's awesome. Because we're on a fast track, we're going to ask you to be seated. Every year, I just cannot go any further without honoring my pastor and his lovely wife, who we know he's a wise man because he married Veronica Winston. Yes. And in my book, she's all that and a bag of chips and the dips and the potato farm and everything. And I owe my pastor because it was in this place. It's always for Daryl and I, it's like an anniversary because this is where it all began when he started chasing me. And I get to say that because he doesn't have the mic tonight. But we're on a fast track and we got so much to cover. The Bible says he shall continually pursue me. And all the women in the house said,
amen.
That's right. I want to honor my pastor and honor Living Word as well. Very briefly, we have a DVD to show what we've done with your money. We are always very accountable when we come here because of the leadership of your pastor. Every single month, your support comes to us to enable us to reach the nations of the earth. And we now have missionaries and graduates from our school, Global Leadership Training Center, in over 70 nations around the world. And we just give God glory for that. And that's the support that comes from this house. Also, and our students are here from the nations tonight as well. This is the first year we brought our mothers, Daryl's mother. My mother is here tonight. I asked my mothers to really stand tonight, and we just thank God. Come on, Mama. Mama Ann, Mama T. These are the intercessors. Mama Ann, you got to stand. It's Daryl's mother there. And we wanted them to see the pastors that shepherd over Daryl and I. There's a DVD. Very briefly, want to show what we've done with your money. I'm on a fast track tonight, so could they roll the Haiti DVD? Bishop and Joel June and Mama June are here. We just
Dr.
purchased.
Dr. Pat invites you to be a part of history.
Well, you know
Jamaica.
What? Let's just talk about that.
They Praise Fest Ministries
this
has
is a
fully chartered
cruise that we're
going to
do. 3,000 missionaries on May the 30th through June the 4th. Send me your youth. Send me your young adults. Send me your singles and anybody that's lost their passion. You can turn the volume up. And we're invading the island.
Part of the Jamaica Fest Island Crusade. There's something for everyone. Conferences for adults, singles, students, children, men, women, couples, and more. So bring your friends, your family, your youth group, your small group, your choir. Groups of 20 or more get a 20% discount. Book now with a $200 deposit by calling 1-800-247-1899 or go online at cruisewithacause.org. Cruise with a Cause 2011. Take a vacation. Change a nation and rewrite history in Jamaica.
How many know that sounds pretty good? It's an awesome strategy. Matthew is here tonight, who's over Praise Fest, and I've been serving on their board, and it's an awesome strategy that God actually gave to him. 3,000 missionaries on a ship. We come to the island, we invade the island, we're going after 113,000 kids in school. The government is funding the activity that's on the ground, so the ship is going to be filled with 3,000 believers. We're training and doing missions trainings while we're on the ocean. And by the time the ship docks, it's time to manifest the kingdom and stop just talking it and doing it. So while we're on the water, the entire ship is completely booked. We got 600 slots left, and what they've done for tonight is for everybody else that paid $800, you all get it for $400 because you got the hookup with Dr. Bill Winston. And so send us your youth, send us your young adults, an awesome missions trip for young adults. We have radical people there because it's a very safe environment. We can train them, and we can control where they're sleeping, where they're living, because we leave the ship and do our work and then come back. But on the other DVD, I wanted to show that one of what we're doing in Haiti with your money. So could you roll that one?
Master's Touch Ministries has been committed to bringing clean water in developing countries. I cannot tell you how many times we've come in contact with adults and children and pigs and animals and feces all in the same water. Water that is contaminated with tons of bacteria, and we are determined to bring clean water and life to them. Clean water is life. When we provide them clean water, we're providing them life. Let us show you how the biosand filter works. This is our strategy in bringing clean water to the nations of the earth.
You can first look at the water, and you see how the biosand filter works. This is the quality of the water. You can see the turbidity and the contamination that is there. We're going to pour the water into this biosat filter, and then you can watch what comes out of it. I think you can compare and see the water that is coming out of this biosat filter is very clear. And for your information, this water is ready to drink. All the contamination has been cleansed through the biofilm that is in this biosat filter. I can drink and I'm comfortable that the water is very good and it is potable. Thank you.
We take for granted something as simple as clean water. And I believe that what we make happen for others, God will make happen for us. Every time we drink a glass of clean water, we have to remember that there are those who have no access to clean water. When we consider that 60% of the body is comprised of water, we can reach 700 families in the villages around nations, one drop at a time. One family at a time, and as each one reach one, we can make a difference. One family at a time, one drop at a time.
One of the things that we did, we believe in empowering nations and not just giving them a fish in order for those to receive the biosand filters. It was a village called Kwadi Mishan with 700 families. And we actually, working with the Junes, were on our way from one side of the island to the other side of the island and found out about this village. They are doing a tremendous work at Grace International. Junes, would you please stand? And Bishop and Mama June, please stand. Yes. Amen. From Haiti. And what they allow us to do is to base there at their site at Grace International. We partner with them as well. Because of the support coming from this house as well, we just purchased a van, about $30,000, because when we went in, and Dolores can attest to this, when you go in, the NGO organizations have all the nice Range Rovers and nice cruisers and nice vehicles, and the believers riding around with vehicles that speak in tongues, you know, and no air conditioning. And I just said, enough is enough. I said, you know what? I got mad one day. And I saw all the NGO and the United Nations work. I said, you know what? We're going to pay cash for a van. And when I come back, we're going first class. So they got the 15-passenger van that's been given to because of your support. We thank God. It's got air conditioning, too. But also, it was this island that this particular village that we found out about, because we thought the Junes are getting help, and we thank God for the help that they're getting, but we use that base to reach other people who are getting no help. And what you saw in the video was a man bathing with pigs and a little girl drinking from the very same water. And we've been going in when we were there, putting every single month, doing clinics and things like that, but it's because of the work here. I want you to go to the Word of God. And as you're turning there, I want you to know that the DVD and the CD series that are on the table provide a biosand filter. A biosand filter is only $50. We hooked up with a network with the company that is there locally in Haiti, so it provides job creation. And not only job creation, the money stays in Haiti. And then not only does the money stay in Haiti, there are people under the age of 30 years old. The reason why that's important to me in doing 21st century missions is because out of the 6.7 billion people on the face of the earth, half of the earth is under 30 years old. It has never happened in history before. So in order to change the world, we have to reach people 30 and under, which means we have to think different and we have to empower them economically. So we do missions that empowers nations. And in order to get the biosand filter, they had to go through the training. And the reason why we did the training is that we had to meet with the leaders so that the leaders could begin to train and teach their people so the cycle and tradition doesn't continue to pass on to the next generation. And it wasn't enough to just provide the filter. We had to feed them, we had to train them, provide antibacterial soap, all the things to empower
empower them to have a fresh start. And so we believe that God has called us to transform nations. And I believe that the day is over of just putting an emphasis on the preached word of God. One of the things I love so much about my pastor and about this house is that pastor talks so much about a demonstration and about a manifestation. It's time to go beyond just writing books about the kingdom, singing songs about the kingdom, making prophecies about the kingdom. Are you all hearing me? Preaching sermons about the kingdom. It's time to manifest the kingdom of God. And when we go into nations like Haiti and we go into nations like Brazil and you take an entire village that has never had clean water, you don't have to negotiate with the government. You don't have to negotiate and deal with corruption. You just go in and you provide what the people need in the name of Jesus and pay the entire bill and just say, move on to the next village. Amen. Amen. We're living in a time that we don't have time to negotiate and be in committee meetings with NGO organizations and waiting for grants to be approved. There are people that are dying. 12,000 people die every day because of a lack of clean water. And clean water can be provided for 12 cents a day. When I saw that little girl, our doctor is here tonight as well, and we saw that little girl drinking that water, putrid water with animal feces in it, the man bathing in the same water, pigs in the same water. The first thing I said is, what if that was my baby? And what I did, and we have that kind of responsibility. We must empower the next generation. I went and brought my son, and I brought his wife, and I brought my 20-month-old baby, and I took their grandbaby, took them to Haiti, and gave them an opportunity to see what it's like so they can appreciate life more and take ownership as well. That grandbaby came back with not one mosquito bite. Are you all hearing me? We have to understand that we have to pass the next baton on, but to also help them to understand that we're to leave them a legacy of not just a preached word. We have raised up a generation. Listen to me. It's only on the western side of the world that when we think that we've talked about something, that we've done it. Yeah. We think, and there's a lot of emphasis that's put on the preached word. Pastor, this summer, I mean, the fall of October 2010, I was invited by Dr. Billy Graham. It was a forum, some of you probably heard about it, called Luzon, and it's by invitation only. And out of 6,000 global leaders, world leaders in the world of missions, only 400 were invited by Billy Graham from the United States out of 6,000 around the world. Well, I was invited to the table, and I had to come to Cape Town, South Africa, and they do things a little bit different than we do. It was so interesting because, number one, nobody was fighting for front row seats. Nobody had gaiters and silk suits on. Nobody came with their titles. We all had to pay. We were invited, but we had to pay a substantial amount to be able to come and meet at the table. Because what they were doing is they were filtering out who's serious. And then in order to qualify, we had to be security cleared because there were heads of states that were there. There were multimillionaires who are looking. I never knew that this existed. There were multimillionaires that are looking for churches to funnel their money through as a write-off. But he said most of them don't even have their books in order, and they don't even have a humanitarian aid arm in their ministry. They do not have, not only humanitarian aid, they have nothing in human trafficking. They have nothing in disaster relief, and we would like to funnel it through the church, but their activities are centered around just their people. They're not raising their people up to go out. And so they said that the meetings that we got invited to, I would have never been brought to the table. And I am so thoroughly convinced that what got me to that meeting was my association with this ministry. They would have never known who this little black girl was. And the thing that was so interesting was there was no emphasis on what you're wearing. There was no emphasis on a title. And it changed and transformed my thinking. And I began to realize that it's something different. And even the whole format and setup wasn't set up as a preach type of situation. It was set up where we come to table, we had round tables, and you were pre-cleared and pre-assigned before you come who you're going to sit at the table with. And everybody at the table was different ethnicities, different genders, different economic social status, why you had to go through several different things. If you miss any deadline, if you were late for getting in your information to any deadline, you were disqualified. Totally disqualified. And so we begin this, and the thing that was so interesting that they only allowed 400 American there. They only wanted 400 Western mindsets there because they said what has spearheaded and led the way in evangelism has been a Western mindset.
when the majority of the most densely populated part of the world is now the western part of the world. I love what God has my husband doing and going over into another region, another sphere of dealing with the judicial system and saying, no, we're not going to limit this to the four walls of the church. We're doing what our pastors taught us to do. We're going into every sphere, every atmosphere. We're going beyond just the traditional western mindset of church as usual. Talk to me, somebody. And I'm here to tell you tonight that we're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. I want you to turn with me your Bibles to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Two things happened from the time Pastor invited me to come and speak. And once I saw that the thing was advancing the kingdom of God, I said, boom, shakalaka. Your mother, the book that she's doing for Dr. Teal, they asked me to do a little forward or an endorsement in the book. And when they sent me the book, Pastor, first of all, when you get a letter to put an endorsement, out of all the people in the world for T.L. Osborne's book, Little Black Girl from North Kakalaki. And I waited about 3 days to just, what do I write about T.L. Osborne? What can I say? And as I began to read the manuscript, this is what got me. First of all, T.L. always taught us that they don't do anything to draw attention to themselves. They don't, am I right? He doesn't do the type of things like anniversaries and he doesn't do tributes and all that kind of stuff. It has always been about the kingdom of God. And I began to look at this as I was reading the manuscript. It said that he's in his life planted over 200,000 churches and not one named after him. I had to put the manuscript down right there. I thought, what a different mindset, because what he's doing is saying, it's not about me. I'm empowering the nations to do the work. I'm empowering the nationals to do the work. And I thought, it's amazing how on the western side of the world, most of ministry is centered around a personality. And when ministry is centered around a personality, there is no transgenerational succession because you built it around you. And the reason why you're afraid for anybody else to be more anointed to you or for someone to know more than you, because you think it's going to, you know, put you out of a job. But it's because you don't understand kingdom. When you look at the way Paul the Apostle did it, Paul did not determine a successful church by how many people he can get within the four walls of the church. Paul determined a successful church by many, how many he could raise up and send out. I'm sending you Timothy, I'm sending you Epaphroditus. So he did not gauge success by numbers. Because let me tell you why I think like this. Pastor does a very excellent job with the leaders here. I don't know if any other church I go to, when you make an altar call, this place is filled. The altar is filled. And every single time I see the masses coming, I said, he's doing his job. But the question is, are the saints in the house keeping them? Oh, talk to me. So it's evident that there is an anointing. It's evident that the hand of God is here. Yes. It's evident that the people are hungry. It's evident that the harvest is ripe. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
But if we could even just manage to keep, as Bob Yandian said, the ones that have come. So what is our problem? In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, before Jesus departed, he said this. He said, and I saw something. He says, do not build your lifestyle and do not be like the Pharisees. Don't build your ministry on a Pharisaical type of ministry, which puts more emphasis on the outside instead of what's on the inside. He says, this is how you can tell if you're going the wrong direction in life or in ministry, in marriage or in business. When you put more emphasis on the outside, he says the outside of the cup is clean, but the inside is extortion and excess. Extortion and excess? What you talking about, Willis? Watch this. Extortion. That is when you take what belongs to someone else for yourself at the expense of that person. Like that man Madoff, that made off with all them people's money. First of all, think about it. The outside looked good. It had to look good for the people to trust him and to invest. So probably from the very, very beginning, he brought some money back to them. And that was to hook them. And so then, but on the outside, all the trappings looked sincere. But on the inside of his cup was extortion. And not only extortion, it was excess. When you look at the lavish, and we're not against fine and nice things. We're prosperity people, and we do not apologize for it because we know the purpose of prosperity. But he got to a place of consumption and hoard and greed where more was never enough. Whenever you need more at the expense of taking it from somebody else, that's too much.
Amen.
Brother Kardashian, my doctor is here tonight, and my trainer is watching. And I put down that red meat and I made a decision that I'm going to have to live a long time because I was the last one to preach at Pastor Billy Joe's church before he went to be with the Lord.
Yes.
And if my trainer's watching, I ain't got nothing else to say. He's tough. Watch this. Watch this. I begin to see that whenever I said that about my doctor here tonight, because he told me, Pat, whenever you consume more in your body than what you need, it affects the mindset. Everything he's saying, you have no boundaries, no barriers. There's no conscience that says it's enough. So when you can't handle it in the food, you can't handle it with sex, and you sleep it with the secretary. And then the thing that was so awesome, Pastor, you got to see this movie. It's not bad. Y'all watch movies too. Inside Job. I meant to bring it with me. Have you seen it yet? You've seen it. I should have known. But did you see that part, Pastor, where the part of the brain that affects the cocaine, the people that do cocaine, the same as those that are driving after money? Because you're not supposed to chase money. We're kingdom people. We're not supposed to chase things. They come after us. Say amen, somebody. So he says, don't get caught up into that. Then the other thing he said, like, this is how the Pharisees are. They're whitewashed sepulchers on the outside of the church and the trappings and their marriage and their business. It looks wonderful and clean. But on the inside is dead men's bones. So you got these people in leadership that sit on the first few rows, not these here, but in church on Sunday. And they want a title. Yeah. And they want to be ordained. And they want to be licensed. They want their own ministry. And they want to be able to preach when passes away. And so on the outside, it looks like they've got it together. But the reason why you know it's dead men's bones on the inside, when's the last time you brought somebody to church with you? When's the last time you discipled one of the ones that came up here? Are you all hearing me? You're not producing any fruit. You're not bearing any fruit because anything's living is going to produce fruit. You're just holding a title and sitting in a seat and you're causing focus and attention. How many of you pastors have had people that before you gave them a title and a position, they were bringing people to church and you put them in that position because you thought it's somebody you can trust and count on? You gave them a title, made a mistake and giving them a card, and then you gave them a special parking space. Now they think they know more than you. They're not even bearing fruit. How can you put somebody in leadership that in the last 90 days they haven't led anybody to the Lord? I just preached at a church on Sunday. It was ordination service and they were licensing people. When I got through, the pastor said, it's a hole on license and ordination. You getting a temporary, and they invited their grandmama, Jumba, Pukenim, and Ray Ray. I guess they say, where did he get her from? Well, I did what is called the salt test. I did it at Dr. Price's church. And the salt test is, with your leadership, who in the last 90 days has led somebody to the Lord, got them filled with the Holy Spirit, brought somebody to church with you on a consistent basis until they got planted in the house of God and became disciple, and they're in new members class, and you pick them up and you bring them to church. Don't you sit and talk to me about leadership. Because the Bible says in Matthew 23 that if the blind lead the blind, then you're going to both have a ditch ministry. Watch this. If I am a leader and you don't see me bringing people to church with me, then the laity will follow what they see the leaders do. So a blind guide is somebody who thinks they can trust the person that's leading them, but the person that leads them has no insight themselves. We should model the kingdom of God as leaders. We should model what it means to be fervent and passionate after souls. We ought to model what we believe to advance the kingdom of God. And advancement and maintaining is two different things. The Muslims deploy 180,000 missionaries to the field annually every year, and their total financial support is secured before they leave. And when they come back, they're promised a job, a full college education. Are you hearing me? Because they put their money where their mouth is. Well, thank you for that 2 or 3 amen. The Muslims deport and the Taliban alone 12,000 young men, and the families of these Taliban donate, the mothers and the fathers donate their son to be a, these are donated 12,000 years to be a suicide bomber. So they're willing to die for what they believe. We're just trying to get our folks to live what they believe. One last thing and I'm done. He says that they like the long prayers so that they can be seen of men. They like the borders on the bottom of their robes so that everybody can look at the design of this and what they're wearing. So what happens is you can't have a kingdom mentality
if the whole focus is all on lifting up you? John 12:32 said this. He says concerning the cross, when you minister, my brother said, run to the cross. In 12th chapter of John, the 31st verse, going into the 32nd verse, he was talking about the cross. And in the 32nd verse, he says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Well, if men are not being drawn, and if men are not being drawn in your local assembly, then somewhere he's not lifted up. Maybe you've been lifted up. Maybe you haven't lifted up his agenda. Maybe the reason why you can't pay the mortgage on your church is because God's not obligated to pay for what he didn't order. But if you are given to his agenda, he pays for what he's ordered. Now watch this. If his last agenda is our first priority, then God is like, I'm with that. But what is his first priority? What is his last agenda? It is souls. It's advancing the kingdom of God. We see in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 15th and the 16th verse, Paul the apostle had a mindset of advancing, taking regions. And that 10th chapter, I wish I had time to show it in the Amplified Study when you get it home, especially the Message Bible. He starts in that chapter where he talks about, number one, that I have the divine jurisdiction. I have the kingdom jurisdiction to operate where I'm operating. When I'm in the Middle East, there is no, I am in my vein. That's my territory. And I begin to see what I begin to understand about the 1040 window. I saw that there are regions that are most densely populated, but least evangelized. So I'm thinking, what kind of sense does that make to take 3/4 of $12 trillion in disposable income and keep circulating around the already heard? If we're going to advance the kingdom of God, Pastor, you're military. If we're going to advance the kingdom of God, we got to go in the region where the enemy poses the greatest threat. Are you hearing me? In this 1040 region of the world, the five major religions are housed. Why on earth have we never seen this? Hinduism, Buddhism, Shintoism, Islam, are you all hearing me? All of them in that region of the world that makes up this geographical mass from the very tip of Northwest Africa to the very tip of East Asia, from as far north as Turkey and far south as Sudan. And in this region is where most of the people of the world live. Interesting enough, the most of the people of the 6.7 billion people that live in that window, the majority of the people live there, over half of them are under 30. Most of them 18. So we are playing games with God. We're singing songs about reaching nations. We're singing songs about going in all the world. We're telling God that we love. We're telling him we want to win the world. We're singing. And we have beautiful songs. And we're spending all this money on equipment and sound systems and all this technology stuff. But God says none of it means anything to me because you haven't shown me your stuff. You haven't shown me that you're serious yet. The reason why I know you're just talking the talk and not walking the walk, you don't even pray for nations in your church. So it's not my agenda, it's your agenda. Stop kidding me. If it's my agenda, then what's important to me is important to you. So if we're gonna reach the world, we reach tomorrow's leaders today. Everybody else is doing it. MTV is doing it, everybody's doing it. So if we're gonna reach them, then we have to bring a global conscience and a biblical worldview to our local assembly so they can understand, watch this. I love the word, you took my notes tonight. It's time for a shift.
Come on.
If you are in a race, I love it when my trainer has me working out and he's telling me to increase more and give more to it and put, when he takes that treadmill and pushes incline plus speed, I'm like, you trying to kill me. Okay, watch this. First, it's enough that it's an incline. I'm feeling some resistance. Now you're adding speed to it. When you broke this morning for the break, and then everybody had to go over where the leaders, ministers, I mean, went to the round table, I struck out from here, and I was shoo. And the whole rest of my staff was trying to keep up with me. They were like, is Pat on crack? And I didn't even break a sweat. I never got out of breath. I'm like, I'm loving this. I strutted from here all the way there, didn't break a speech. And I was like, God, that's how you want us to be for you. Now watch this. In order to be able to get there, see, this is what we've been doing. My trainer says, like, I want to come in and do the same exercise over and over again because I got this down now. And he's got, then he shifts up on me. And then he says, no, I got to work on different parts of the body. So what I've got to do is you did this many this time, now you got to do this many. And you did it at this speed last time. So I said, oh, so I've got to advance. I've got to increase. And he says, you said that's the picture you want to look like. If you want to get there, you're going to have to increase. He said, in the pulpit, you the boss. In here, I'm the boss. Shut up and run. I start running. Watch this. So the church is trying to operate in the same gear, in the same speed, with the same methods, with the same mindset, singing the same songs to the same people, which is the definition of insanity. No intensity, no increase, no passion, no fervency, not taking it up another level. We're operating on cruise and maintaining. But if you're going to advance the kingdom of God, we got to go after this thing with everything that's within us. When I was in Cape Town, South Africa, I was sitting at the table with people. Let me just show you what I'm talking about. This is my gift to Pastor and Sister Veronica. Lindo sisters, come very quickly. I can't give them the mic because I'll be in trouble. Come in real quickly. 80, almost 80 years old, working in Afghanistan, Mauritania, and got up in Saddam Hussein's palace. The guard got them in the palace because they look like little three unassuming little grandmothers. Come here. So they just said, woo. Sir, we just like to, they were like tourists, like they just want to take some pictures. And they done prayed and all goes. And they got to Iraq by road from what country?
Jordan.
From Jordan. Who goes to Jordan? By road and 100 or something degree. And almost 80 years old. Then when they got there, I said, how did you get in the palace? Their mentality is, everywhere the soles of our feet shall tread, that is he given us. Then they said, we do prayer journeys and prayer walks. They said, we had to go and redeem the land. They took the land and began to redeem all this outside the palace. Then next thing you know, they get in the palace. And then once they get in the palace, they get and sit behind Saddam Hussein's desk. And they anoint the whole place. And they... Don't they look so unassuming? But absolutely a lethal weapon. Because they believe we are called to advance the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
And I notice there's no body fat on them. And they are almost 80 years old. And you can ask any of my students. They outpray every last one of you. They spend hours in prayer. They're in fit. They're in shape. They track by road. And pastor, they work for nobody. They live by faith. They go to these nations by faith. Come on, let's give the Lord praise. Y'all may be seated. Come on, this is the legacy that they are leaving. Look at them. And if you could hear from them, if I gave them a mic, the glory would fall. They went inside a restaurant in Iraq. And one of them, which one of you all God told you to pass out the tracts in Iraq, in the restaurant? That one right there, that's the, ooh, that one right there. She said, Pastor Ray, God told me to go into the center of downtown Iraq in the peak of the day and pass out tracts renouncing Islam to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. That's a prison ministry. You better know you heard from God. So, and the other was like, how is God gonna do this? So they sit there, so when the waiter come, they just, hello, gentlemen. And they give him a tract. And so the man goes and he looks at the tract. And then he comes back. And I think you all give it to another one or whatever. And then the manager was watching. And he says, what is that you gave them? I saw you gave them something. And then they thought they were in trouble. And so he says, give me, show me what you gave them. So she pulled it out of her little bag and showed them the track, which means it had to already be in Arabic. Most of you Watch this. They had to believe they went by through the desert by road because God showed this to them. Then when the manager read the track, he said, do you have any more of this? Where are the rest of these? Do you have any more of these? And they said, yes. He says, do you have enough for everybody in the restaurant? He says, yes. He says, give everybody in the restaurant one. You're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. We ain't scared of no devil. There is no region that keeps us us out. There are regions that we never reach. They are closed to those that are not believers. There is no nation closed to the gospel. There is no nation closed to the people of God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So I got challenged. I said, if they're almost 80 years old in Iraq, if you knew about Mauritania, who, Mauritania? Believers don't even go there, they're afraid. And they're ready to take Afghanistan again. They're like, we are ready. And I'm like, what are you eating? What are you feeding off of? Just very briefly, I gotta move on. They were in Mauritania, and this driver, the taxi driver, they were in the back seat, and the man tried to do them harm. And the man saw a third person in the seat. The taxi driver got scared and drove off in terror and almost killed. She was getting out the car, just drove off, and she dragging out of the car. And then later on, they found out that the man said, who was that in the back seat with you? And they were like, you don't know? Jesus always goes with us because we take care of his business. You don't know? Now, and we're sitting up here being satisfied with all this power, all this authority, all this anointing. This is the finest hour. We're called for this time. This time to demonstrate and model the kingdom of God. We're putting people in leadership with titles. He told them in the 23rd chapter, they love titles. They love front row chief seats. They love things that are to be seen. They want somebody to call them rabbi. Because the whole focus around them, let me close with this. Oh, God. Turn with me in 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Come on. This scripture here is what I have lived by from the days of T.L. Oswald. Paul the Apostle in Acts, the 17th chapter, you see a more accurate account of the story in 1 Thessalonians, first chapter. Paul the Apostle was in a town called Thessalonica. And it was a result of the Macedonia call. And this church at Philippi was funding the missionary work. They started out in poverty, but through their giving, they increased. And look at the work that they were funding. When Paul the Apostle got to Thessalonica, the Bible says, and the best scholars say, he reasoned with them for three Sabbaths. You find it in Acts the 17th chapter. Some scholars say a Sabbath is a week. Some scholars say a Sabbath was counted as a day. But it is noted that it was 3 days. Now, Pastor's been teaching us about time. And Pastor said things like this. What took other people 20 years to get to that place in ministry, you can get there in 20 days. And some of you sit there and like, you know, and you won't grab that thing in the spirit. But I've learned how to grab that in the spirit when a word has been put out there. And so they reasoned for three Sabbaths. And then persecution came. They stirred up those in stirred up a group around the men. They began to persecute Paul, and he fled in the night for his life. And so he left behind Timothy and Silas, which means he already had apostolic succession, which means he was always raising up the type of leadership that, number one, could go in the eye of adversity with him, and then somebody, when things got tough, he could leave them in the eye of adversity so that he can be preserved to go to the next town. Well, you know, he went on to Berea, and they were more sophisticated. They wasn't like Jumbo Pukka de Marere, you know. There wasn't Berea and stuff, the scriptures, to see if the things they read were of God or not. And so he hung out over there while Timothy was left behind. And then the Bible teaches us, as you study chronologically, that it was 18 months later before he was able to even send Timothy back in again to get a report of how this three-day-old church was doing. And first of all, in the fifth verse of the first chapter, it says, our word did not come to you. We did not come to you in word only, but in demonstration, in the power of God. Are you hearing me? So then evidently there was not a demand placed on just the preached word only. There had to be a demonstration. That word for demonstration is the word spedazo, which means he made a spiritual impartation into them. He said it this way in the Elizabethan English. He said, the men of the city do tell us what manner of entry we had unto you, which means the men of the city, this is in Thessalonians, writing of the story that is more accurately accounted in Acts the 17th chapter. In Acts the 17th chapter, it tells about how the men of the city was trying to stone and kill them and run them out. But then we now find that the same men of the city who tried to take their life are the men of the city that are now saying, the council of the city, the leaders of the city are now saying, they told us what manner of entry we had unto them, how they turned from serving idols to the true and living God. So they came and he reasoned with them for 3 days, and yet the entire city was turned around. And the report that Timothy brought back, he says, the word of the Lord has so gone forth from them that we need not say anything. They took ownership. There was not an emphasis on the pressure being put on the man of God to bring a word on Sunday morning, and we live off of that only. They took the preached word, grabbed that thing, took ownership of it. He's the one feeding us. It's our responsibility to now take that word and go manifest it to the nations. Paul said, I cease not to make mention of you in my prayers. He was concerned. He said in the second chapter, the 17th and 18th verse, many times I wanted to come back to you, but Satan hindered me. That word hindered me is the word ekopto. Listen, pastors, ekopto means that the Greek rendering is like this, like you're on a race. And in the midst of your race, somebody comes from behind and knocks you out the race and disqualifies you. Ekopto. And another rendering means like you're on a path or a journey and you're going somewhere. And right before you get there, you can see your destination. But right before you get there, there's a break in the road and you can't pass over to the other side. That's what Paul was saying it was like to get back to them. I was this close to doing what I wanted to put inside of you, but I had to flee. I couldn't get there. I couldn't finish. It was like I almost was able to come back to you, but I couldn't get to you because there was a break that would not allow me to get there. Look, first of all, from the side of the apostle, the type of yearning that was on the inside of him to put something inside of these people. It wasn't like I gotta get a word on Sunday to preach. It was like I gotta put something inside of them because I don't know how long I'm gonna be with them. And I don't know how long. Are you hearing me? He says, I wanna get to you, but I can't. And ekopto means to go back to the place of origin. And there begin again. And take another method. And take another. Are you hearing me? That's what ekopto means. And yet he wasn't able to give them everything he wanted. And yet, you mean to tell me this is the result of a 3-day old baby church when you reason with them in the Sabbath for 3 days? And look at the region when you look at a map of Achaia and Macedonia. They reached that whole region without an usher board, a deacon board. And now we got all these committees. And all these people on payroll, and we got to, are you all hearing me?
Yes.
And we've been at this for 2,000 years, and people won't increase, they won't raises, and then you haven't even done the last job. You haven't even brought any fruit, you have not. You still cannot run, Sally, run. Come back and finish what I last told you to do. And complete it with excellence. We can't win the world with this kind of mentality. And the saddest thing is we put up with these people. Instead of placing a high demand and saying, don't you understand that we are kingdom couriers? Don't you understand that we've been called to finish a work? Don't you understand that this is not about Sunday morning activity? A rocking chair has activity, but it goes nowhere. You start placing a higher demand in leadership. And guess what? The people will come up. So in actuality, we're the ones that are going to be at fault for tolerating it. Do you think Paul the apostle, you know how Paul rolled with Barnabas and John Mark? John Mark was afraid when they prayed, when it got hot, because John Mark was the cousin of Barnabas. And so when the pressure got hot and Paul and Barnabas are talking, he was like, and he saw what John Mark did the last time. And he says, I don't need no spaghetti back person with me. You know what spaghetti back means? When the heat gets on, you know what spaghetti does when it's in hot water. So he's like, where I'm going, listen to what Pastor's been telling us. Where we're going, you're going to need miracles. Where we're going, you're going to need the supernatural. Where we're going, you're going to need faith. You're not going to go where he wants to take us with just the mentality of church as usual. And the people that we are allowing around us who are not ready to go with us, you're just going to have to take the mentality just like Moses did and just like Joshua. Listen, I am going on. Joshua said, that's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. And it just may be that some folks will just die out, but you got to continue on. Because there are some that want it. Paul said when it got tough, John Mark can handle this. And then look later on what Paul went into. He was imprisoned. He was beaten. John Mark would not have been able to handle it. But then later on in the epistles, he says, send me John Mark. He is now profitable to me. He's ready now. We've been putting people in leadership that are not ready. They're not mature. And let me just say this. It's only in the Western side of the world that numbers denote to us success in the sense of numbers only. I'm not saying tracking things. But you can fill up a football stadium with numbers. What is the maturity level of our people? Here's the acid test. What kind of fruit are they producing? Yes. Jesus said, if the tree don't bear fruit, cut it down. Because listen to what he said in the 23rd chapter. He says, this is how the Pharisee order is. You don't want to go in the kingdom. And then you go and take men and convert them and apostatize them. And you make them threefold the devil you are. So then if leadership are not operating at a high level, then the people, the department they're over and the people they're training and the teams that they're taking out, you're going to produce them to be like you. No wonder we can't advance. And then we're not going to even take it over to the ones that's in leadership. Don't exercise. Don't eat right. Not getting rest. Are you all hearing me? Houses jacked up. Marriages jacked up. Stuff not right. But we know how to come and get our praise on. Come on. It ought to be you with the word that goes forth out of this house. It ought to be that you will not reproach God to come up. Do you know how many people I brought with me to this conference? I'm telling you because it's so good. You sit at the spout where the water comes out. I've been with him in nations. I've been with him in Burundi. I've been with him in South Africa. And I've seen nations transform. And you sit at the spout where the water comes out and satisfied with just getting your portion. Satisfied because you have clean water. Satisfied because you have a roof over your head. Satisfied because you got your word. But those are not the 21st century leaders that he's looking for to advance the kingdom of God. If my people who are called by my name, you've got to have his heart. You've got to have his heart. Hear me by the Spirit, church. You've got to have his heart. You've got to have his heart. I saw this by revelation, Pastor. It just dawned on me so simple. One day in my morning time in prayer, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Perishing souls, was that important to you that it became your number one agenda, your number one task, and you were willing to give your all and your best for it? So, Genesis 1, 26 and 28 says that through 28, we're created in your image and likeness. And if we're created in your image and likeness, then whatever makes your heart pant is supposed to make my heart pant. Any church that has lost the thrust for souls, you are a whitewashed sepulcher full of dead men's bones. And run and tell that. Hide the kids, hide the wife.
Get it out.
Because watch this. That means that you're not about what is life.
Come on.
You're not about what is souls. You're not about what cost the Father God the blood of Jesus. And there are nations out there unreached.
Yes.
There's 500,000 people that die every day without hearing the mentioned name of Jesus. Three-fourths of the world has not been reached. We have to advance. We're all that God has. He hinged this entire thing upon us. Not the angels, not the government, the ecclesia, the called out ones, which tells me My father is the original Jew, and he's a wise God. So it means somewhere we're gonna get our act together. Somewhere we're gonna rise up and begin to understand and realize that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Somewhere there's going to be an encounter where we begin to realize that we are wearing ourselves out trying to do ministry the way we've been doing it, changing diapers and dealing with transient church people instead of going out into regions where they've never been reached, where they're hitting a crack pipe. Are you hearing me? Where they're somewhere mad and crazy. We're in Brazil watching 5-year-olds hitting a crack pipe in Cracoland, Brazil. And we went in there and we told them, we're going to provide a van for you, but we're coming back with a team of teenagers. And the training that they're going to have to go through by the time they get there with me in July, we coming to hit Crack City. And number one, we believe that everywhere the soles of our feet shall tread. There is no way that we're supposed to live in cities and live in regions and allow our city streets and our government and corruption and this stuff to take place. Pastor said, we're born to be placed right down in the midst of adversity, not just to be in it, but to change it. Say amen, somebody, and stand to your feet. My time is out. You really working the sister up here. Yes. Can we ask the minister to play? The Lord showed me this. You can remain standing. I'm done. Everything that I'm teaching is a curriculum on the table. Make it mandatory for your leaders to shut up with it for 30 days or turn in.